And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
Well, happy first round of the draft, everybody. 32 picks of the 2021 NFL draft now officially in the books as we welcome you to the Move the Sticks podcast here following round one. Rhett Lewis, Bucky Brooks here with you following these first 32 picks. Plenty of drama, plenty of intrigue to get to. Yes, the quarterbacks dominated the first few picks, but man, some trades dominated the picks from 10 to 23, really. And then we get a run on defense at the end of the first round. A lot of fun here, Bucky. This was really interesting to see how it went down. It did not fare well for my mock draft, but that's a story for another day.
Man, you know, mock drafts go out the window once you get to pick three.
And they did.
After the quarterback selections and then the wide receivers go on their run and the surprises when it comes to the trades and all that other stuff, it kind of blew it up. But I thought what was interesting, we saw a number of offensive skill players go early. We talked about that possibly being a reality. And then just the moves that were made. And when we had these different runs where the offensive tackles had a run, and then we had a run of edge rushers and those things. The one thing that I was surprised that we didn't see the run on cornerbacks like maybe we anticipated seeing at the bottom of the first round. But, hey, the draft is different. So much drama all day with the Aaron Rodgers stuff or whatever that it just makes for a very interesting proper when we review it.
No question, man. Rodgers thing really amped up the conversation ahead of the first round. And so we're going to get into some of the top headlines here from the first round. We'll get into one of the themes that we saw, which was teams reuniting their young quarterbacks with former college teammates. We'll dig in there. We'll get one of our we'll get a surprise in this first round from each one of us and a winner from the first round before we let you go here tonight. So let's start off with the headlines here. And obviously one of our main crew members here, Daniel Jeremiah, not with us tonight, but I was on the main desk for our NFL Network coverage of the first round. And DJ kicked it off with his thoughts on Trevor Lawrence, who, as we expected, went number one of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, not all first overall picks are the same. This is a year, if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, you are very thankful you are picking number one, because guys like Trevor Lawrence, they simply don't come around very often. It's the highest grade I've put on a quarterback going back to Andrew Luck. So he'd be the number two in terms of that type of player that you can expect. Andrew Luck walked right in, as coach knows, to the Indianapolis Colts, and they took off. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are positioned with somebody like Trevor Lawrence and his ability, the arm strength, the touch, the accuracy, the playmaking ability, and just the fact he's a winner, CD. I think the Jacksonville Jags can get up and running pretty quick.
So there you go. We had chalk at number one. Bucky, we had chalk at number two with Zach Wilson. And then came the surprise, the smoke screen, as John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan step out from behind it and select Trey Lance and not Mac Jones at number three overall. How did that whole conversation and that whole pick and how it ended up for San Francisco strike you?
You know what? I can't say that I was necessarily surprised. Going all the way back to when I looked at Trey Lance last summer, I wrote down that he would be a perfect fit in the Kyle Shanahan system. He reminded me a little bit of a more explosive version of what I saw from Jimmy Garoppolo in terms of running all the play action and the movement stuff. And then he had the added running skills. And so for Kyle Shanahan to give up what he gave up, I felt like it had to be a player who had an opportunity to be special. And no disrespect to Mac Jones and what Mac Jones can do potentially as a starter, I just felt like it had to be somebody who had a little something extra. And when you dug into the old pressers from Kyle Shanahan, and he was out kind of suggesting the perfect quarterback would be the guy who can throw it like Drew Brees and run like Lamar Jackson. So he kind of gave us some breadcrumbs to follow in terms of what he wanted at the position. And Trey Lance certainly embodies everything, because he can do all the stuff at the line of scrimmage. He can play the traditional way, but he also can do the other stuff, which is the read option, RPO game, and that stuff.
Yeah, and look, yeah, you're absolutely right. Fit, skill set, none of that is surprising. It's just there was so much buzz building about Mac Jones at number three that you're almost like, gosh, you know, like it would be kind of crazy for this much momentum towards this player at this pick to be not what ultimately happened, which is the case. And certainly can't argue, you know, with Trey Lance. The only thing about this pick in this move right now that, again, makes me wonder is kind of what we expected. Kyle Shanahan comes out and says it's his hope that Jimmy Garoppolo starts every game of the 2021 season.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep thinking, I'm like, this is a 49ers team that, you know, is built to win right now. I mean, like the 2 years ago, they're in the NFC Championship game in the, you know, in the Super Bowl and almost won the dang thing against the Chiefs. So it felt like to me all along they were pursuing an upgrade over Jimmy Garoppolo and that we might see that upgrade week one in hopes that they get over that hump and win a Super Bowl, knowing that windows are fleeting in the NFL. And you never know what the case is going to be when Trey Lance is ready to start. If that's the case in 2022, what's your team look like then? Are you in as good a position to win then as you are right now? So that's the only thing that gave me pause on it.
Yeah, but I think in their mind, this is the Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes scenario all over again. Yeah. And in addition, Kyle Shanahan has won. He's 22-8 with Jimmy Garoppolo as a starter. So there's no need to move off of Jimmy Garoppolo before his time. The contract that he's paid, like the money is reasonable, all of that stuff. Now it's about getting the next quarterback ready. So when he does have an opportunity to play, he can thrive, he can flourish. Because even with Jimmy Garoppolo as the starter, the odds are he's going to suffer an injury at some point during the season that removes him from the field. We have seen this team, this offense, like grind to a halt when you have C.J. Beathard and Nick Mullins. At worst, we know that Trey Lance is an upgrade over those guys for 2021. And then in 2022, hopefully he's ready to be the starter.
Yeah, I think he's an absolute stud. And look, I think all along we all kind of envisioned this player being a great pick and a great fit for San Francisco. They went and got their guy. And I love that, you know, that confidence that they have in him to be an eventual stud quarterback there in that system with Kyle Shanahan running the San Francisco 49ers there with John Lynch. So excited for that fit. And then that brought us, to quarterbacks 1-2-3 for the first time since Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and Akili Smith went 1-2-3 in 1999. We did not get 1-2-3-4 at quarterback for the first time. Kyle Pitts, first non-quarterback off the board of the Atlanta Falcons, and first-year GM Terry Fontenot there at number 4 overall. Here was DJ's thoughts on how that pick went down.
The player from Florida that's atop so many people's draft board is the best prospect in this draft period, who you, your podcast mate, Bucky Brooks, and our colleague here at NFL Media Group, Bucky, called Daniel. He called him a gold jacket talent, and now he's going to Atlanta. What does this move mean, and how does this inform what you think the Falcons think about Matt Ryan and the rest of their new regime here?
First of all, a penny for Aaron Rodgers' thoughts on this pick. But this is a belief in your soon-to-be 36-year-old quarterback that Matt Ryan has plenty of good football left. Let's go get him a weapon and see if we can't get back in the postseason if you're the Atlanta Falcons. This is a unique player. It's the highest grade I've ever given to a tight end. He's an absolute freak show. You can't match up with him. You're wrong if you bring a corner. You're wrong if you bring a safety. You're wrong if you bring a linebacker. And you look at what Darren Waller has done with the Las Vegas Raiders. This kid's going to do the same thing for the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, the word freak is thrown around. This is a freak.
Can't argue. I mean, you, as Rich noted, you said it's a gold jacket player, so that's a home run pick at number 4 then, Buck.
Yeah, he's a unicorn. You just don't find guys that are built like this. Like, you don't see guys in an NBA power forward body that can run routes like a wide receiver with outstanding hands and instincts and a natural feel for the position. Kyle Pitts gives Atlanta a guy that can work the middle of the field. Now, maybe I'm in the minority. I think the Atlanta Falcons need to keep Julio Jones because – and thinking that Kyle Pitts can replace Julio Jones' production immediately, I think that would be a misstep. I believe they're better served. If you want to get Matt Ryan up and running, Julio Jones on one side, Kyle Pitts in the middle, Calvin Ridley on the other side, eventually having a big-time running back behind him, that is how he's played at his best. When you look at the great years that we've seen from Matt Ryan, it's been when they've had the full complement of weapons. I'm not in the business of removing weapons from Matt Ryan if I'm trying to be great on that side of the ball.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. And so after number 4, we didn't get the quarterback off the board again until number 11, when the Chicago Bears made the big move once again, like they did you know, going up, even though it was just one spot back in 2016 to get Mitchell Trubisky. This time they go up nine spots. They give up a future one and a future four and a five in this year's draft to trade to the 11th spot with the New York Giants and make Justin Fields, Bucky, the fourth pick, fourth quarterback off the board, rather, in this draft.
Yeah, bold move. And it's a move that, you know, we can talk about and speculate the Bears going up to get a quarterback. But when you're on a make or break year, you're Ryan Pace and you're Matt Nagy, do you really have the luxury of waiting for a young quarterback to kind of pop and emerge? But give them credit, because the excitement that you're hearing and seeing from Bears fans in the city of Chicago, it could give these guys an opportunity to enjoy a reprieve. I think it is all about trying to get Justin Fields ready. Can Andy Dalton serve as that Alex Smith-like mentor for Justin Fields while he's trying to get it? I will say what I do like about this is when you are playing in a cold weather environment, when you're Chicago playing in the Windy City, it is really important that the quarterbacks that you select understand how to deal with that. Being a Big Ten quarterback, Justin Fields shining in that stage, it gives him a chance to be able to kind of deal with the elements and understanding what you need to have when you need to get it done. I think this is a great opportunity for them.
Yep, no question. And I think that's big. So 2017, they moved up there to get Mitchell Trubisky in the draft. All right, so let's look in then the last quarterback off the board in the first round, the New England Patriots have Mac Jones just kind of fall into their laps there at 15 after all the conjecture about the Patriots needing to trade up to get one of these top five quarterbacks. They end up getting Mac Jones. He's their guy, Bucky. And so then are we going to see this year or relatively soon at some point here, this offense return to pre-Cam Newton form?
I mean, I think it will return to pre-Cam Newton form. I will say this, though. This is going to be so interesting to see when Mac Jones walks into the locker room or when Mac Jones is on the quarterback part of the practice field and he's standing beside Cam Newton. Because what we talked about with Mac Jones, what he didn't have is like that A-level arm talent, and he doesn't have imposing physical stature. Man, when he stands beside Cam Newton, that would be quite the contrasting tale. I do wonder, when it comes to this offense, what does it look like? What does it look like when Josh McDaniels put it together? Moreover, when Mac Jones takes it over, what does it look like when it comes to the weapons around him? Because everyone has talked about, you know, he was driving a Cadillac at Alabama, the number of first-round picks that he was able to throw to and those things. Even the upgrades that the Patriots made this year, they don't necessarily have A-level pass catchers. And so what does this offense look like when they finally put the finishing touches on it as they move away from the Tom Brady era into a new era of quarterbacking with Josh McDaniels as the play caller?
And there goes the Belichick and Nick Saban connection one more time there. This time, though, it is the quarterback getting the stamp of approval, we certainly assume, from Nick to Bill, as he is the choice at number 15 overall. So those are some of the big headlines there. Certainly the quarterbacks dominated the night there in the first 15 picks. But overall, there was a theme that we saw kind of develop here, and that was teams reuniting young, talented quarterbacks with former college teammates. And look, it started really right at the very top with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence getting his buddy Travis Etienne coming over to Jacksonville with their second first-round pick at number 25. We saw it again with the Bengals making Ja'Marr Chase the choice at 5 overall, reuniting him with his old LSU buddy Joe Burrow, of course, was the number one overall pick last year. Those two had a phenomenal connection in their national championship season in 2019. Very next pick, the Miami Dolphins made Jalen Waddle the selection at 6 overall, reuniting him with Tua Tagovailoa. And then at number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles trading up two spots to make sure they got Devontae Smith, and he gets reunited with his one-time former Alabama teammate, Jalen Hurts, who actually was one of the big reasons that Devontae Smith came to Alabama, as Jalen Hurts laid that recruiting pitch on him to come. So I think that's kind of an interesting theme here. And just to kind of set it up, I want to get DJ's thoughts here from the desk in Cleveland on NFL Network on how the Philadelphia Eagles came to that choice with Devontae Smith.
I know Eagles fans were frustrated last year that they passed on Justin Jefferson. In my opinion, they got it right this year with Devontae Smith. He is a number one wide receiver, and I think Philadelphia is going to be a big fan of this guy. And I love the fact he can rock that number six. No double digits, but that same number six you rocked at Alabama and take it to Philly.
Well, there you go. How do you make it? What do you make of this? These four teams kind of putting this all together here to try to support their young quarterbacks.
Look, I really like the concept. And the reason why I like pairing up the former college teammates is because there's an instant chemistry and connection that you have between those guys. And so much of playing quarterback is about trust and communication and being able to have a guy that you've thrown thousands and thousands of passes to over the course of your collegiate career and practice, then in games, being able to kind of reestablish that connection at the pro level should help these young quarterbacks flourish. I think the one that really stands out to me, though, is Jacksonville, Travis Etienne, yeah, and Trevor Lawrence, putting the running back behind Trevor Lawrence. And even though Urban Meyer kind of alluded to Travis Etienne as the third down back.
He did say that, didn't he?
He did let that come out. I just have this sense of Urban Meyer being this national championship coach with five stars all around, that in my mind, there was no way that he was going to start that era with an undrafted free agent running back as the guy that he is hitching his wagon to in James Robinson. Despite James Robinson's success as a first-year player, I felt like he had to get a guy either to compete and push him or to compliment him in the backfield, and we saw that with Travis Etienne.
I think it also speaks to the fact that this is a first-time NFL head coach, and like I wonder if him saying that Etienne is a third down back type kind of comes back to him not wanting to alienate these new guys, these new players that he has in James Robinson and Carlos Hyde, you know, like wanting to make sure that they know right now that you are still a part of this program. We're not just going to insert this rookie into the lineup and, you know, your 1,000-yard season as a UDFA rookie is gone. You know, like maybe that's just the college coaching.
It might be the college coaching him, because it could be this thing like, hey, you're the hot shot 5-star recruit that comes in. Just so you know, you're not guaranteed that you run right to the starting lineup. Right. So look, we have some guys here, Robinson, Carlos Hyde. You're going to have to find a role. And if you earn your way to the starting spot, so be it. But he has definitely created a very competitive environment in the running back room.
And shockingly enough, the Miami Dolphins had the vision of taking Jaylen Waddle all along when they moved back from 3-12 and then up from 12-6. Ends up being their choice, joining Will Fuller and Devontae Parker and a nice receiving core now to go along with some talented tight ends there for the young Tua Tagovailoa. Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, man, made too much sense. I know Penei Sewell could have been the pick there. But I love reuniting those two dudes who connected for 20 touchdowns in 2019 at LSU. And what a trio of wideouts Cincinnati now has with Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Let's move on to some of our biggest surprises here. Give me a surprise or two that kind of took you or caught you off guard there, Buck, in the first round.
Alec Leatherwood going to the Vegas Raiders.
Yep.
That would be a big surprise. Obviously, as you know, having done so many paths to the draft, segments and episodes, I don't know if we mentioned him one time over the course of
certainly not the first round conversation.
So I think they're a surprise. Now, I will say the Raiders have kind of like a blueprint for what they do when it comes to the draft. When you look at the Raiders, go to the big schools, the schools that are typically college football playoff Final Four, and their first round pick is going to come from either Clemson, Alabama, or Ohio State. Like that's where they shop at. That is their store. That's where they go to. And I get it. Leatherwood, in my estimation, struggled a little bit at the Senior Bowl and practices in terms of like trying to kind of stay square on some of those pass rushers that had speed, quickness, and those things. But he fits the mold of a Raiders offensive lineman, because if you know anything about John Gruden, he wants the biggest offensive line in football. He wants to mash you. He wants to roll you out. You think about when they had Trent Brown and Gabe Jackson and, I mean, Kalechio Simile. Like, they were a big Richie Incognito. They were a big offensive line that could move bodies and move the furniture around the room. And so they basically are doing that with a younger version. And so I understand it on some levels, but man, I just worry. I just worry about Leatherwood being able to hold up.
Yeah, and he's going to be a day one starter at right tackle, according to Mike Mayock, after the pick. So there you go. That is definitely one of the surprises. I'll throw another one at you. Peyton Turner going to the New Orleans Saints at number 29, number 28. I know that he had been getting some buzz kind of as of late, but man, again, one of those players we had not once mentioned in the first round conversation. This pick, by the way, gives the Saints 8 defensive ends and just 4 cornerbacks right now on their roster. I certainly thought corner would be in the conversation if they stayed and picked their 28. But
well, they certainly can address that on day 2. Plenty of corners that can come up. Now, the Peyton Turner pick is interesting. We certainly didn't talk about Peyton Turner in the first round. I know there were some discussions where we had mocked, and his name had kind of come up in the mock, maybe the second or third round, but we didn't necessarily see that jump. That said, with the pass rushers being kind of viewed as they were, you had to know that there were going to be some surprises that kind of came out of nowhere, because we weren't really impressed with the pass rushers that were in this class. We talked about it. And then when you have the variables, no pro days, no combine, some guys played, some guys didn't. It just made it very, very volatile when it came to trying to determine which players were going to come off the board. So Peyton Turner's the first one. We will see how he plays either alongside Marcus Davenport or opposite Cam Jordan. It'll be an interesting ride for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, look, and while Cam Jordan is still supremely productive, he's not spring chicken either, you know? So I think you've got a guy that can eventually step in here at some point, and then they just picked up Marcus Davenport's fifth-year option as expected. So they got a nice rotation there, defensive ends that can come in and rush, and they just lost Trey Hendrickson in free agency. So kind of keep that train moving, trying to get after the passer there for the New Orleans Saints. So there are a couple of surprises. Let's finish this thing up with the winner in the draft from you, Buck. Who do you think won with their pick or picks tonight?
This is a tough one, but I'm going to give some credit to the New York Jets. I don't know how Zach Wilson is going to play there, but I like the direction that Joe Douglas is pointing or turning the Jets into. You get Zach Wilson, you come down, you make a move, you get Elijah Vera Tucker to really solidify that offensive line. It gives them an opportunity to be physical, because then when I think about Mekhi Becton and the other pieces that they have in place, now you can go play big boy football in the AFC East.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I'm going to go and talk a little bit about one of the big trades that was made. And I think the Chicago Bears fan base is maybe the biggest winner tonight after they can finally delete the QB1 Andy Dalton tweet from the Bears Twitter account and say that Justin Fields will now be their quarterback one after Ryan Pace made another move up for a quarterback, 9 spots. But I'm going to say on the other side of that trade is a real winner of this draft. For the first time in his history as a GM, Dave Gettleman moves back in the first round, 9 spots. He gets an extra first rounder next year, a fourth rounder next year, and still gets the support that he might have taken at number 11 for his quarterback, Daniel Jones. Gets it in the form of one of the premier members of our all separation team at wideout and Kadarius Toney from Florida. As long as he can he can prove that he's got the sure enough hands to get out there down in and down out for the Giants, man, that is a fearsome foursome at wideout for Daniel Jones to go along with Saquon Barkley at running back. You know, you're looking at Toney joining Kenny Galladay, joining Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard now. It's all in for your young quarterback there. I think that's one of the winners.
Yeah, I think it is one of the winners. And let's be honest, this is a move that the Giants have been trying to make since they got rid of OBJ. Without Odell Beckham Jr. on the perimeter, they lost some of the explosiveness in the passing game, couldn't create those big plays on catch and run concepts. Well, now Toney can give you that. Not only the element in terms of slants and crossing routes, but then you got the jet sweeps and the bubble screens, those things that you can add in. You bring in Kenny Galladay to be the number one. Toney, you have Kyle Rudolph, you have Evan Engram, who hopefully can return back to form. Now you have a very credible receiving core. And, oh, by the way, Saquon Barkley returns. So now you have to worry about him in the backfield. So, hey, for Daniel Jones, this is everything that you want. Continue to beef up the offensive line. Let's see how Daniel Jones responds when he has some weapons around him.
Just a last quick thought. Best player available for you in round 2. Is it Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah? Is it Aziz Ojulari? Is it Javonte Williams?
Man, it's so many good players at the top of the second round, which is why you always cover those picks. Elijah Moore, to me, is one that stands out. But JOK is obviously the guy. JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, is the guy that we talked about for so long in the first round. We thought maybe the middle of the first round he would come off the board.
That was a surprise to me.
You just wonder, hey, is it a medical thing? Is it something with the size or whatever? But what we do know is the guy that we saw on tape at Notre Dame is a really good football player. Whenever he comes off the board, we can imagine that he's going to be an immediate impact player.
Yep, definitely some good ones left out there for rounds 2 and 3. 73 picks in the next two rounds. You'll see them all Friday night. Of course, got our coverage over on NFL.com, on NFL Network, all over the place. And then Bucky and Lance Zierlein will be right back here on Move the Sticks to recap rounds 2 and 3 for you following the conclusion of those picks. So be sure to stay tuned for that. Hope you enjoyed this round 1 recap. And then, of course, DJ will be back next week as we kind of put a bow on all 259 picks. So stay tuned for Friday night's episode. Thanks for being with us here on Move the Sticks following this first round.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.